And I thought that complaint challenge ended last week. Gosh, just kidding. We are continuing in our series that we started last week, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. You know, last week we talked about how we might help others and what might be most helpful to others. But sometimes it's not others who are going through tough times. It's ourselves, isn't it? We are the ones who are encountering tough times. And our scripture today comes to us from Isaiah chapter 42. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. As we read from Isaiah chapter 42, beginning with verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 7. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word. And let us pray together. Gracious God, we give great thanks for the opportunity once again that we have to gather here as a community of faith. We are thankful for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I ask in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, most of all, to God, open our hearts, so that the words that you have for us today might be more than just information for us. But we pray, Lord, that your words might dig deeply within our hearts, and that your words might provide us transformation, that we might be transformed from the inside out. And all this we ask, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's in the name of Jesus that we prayed together, saying, Amen. You know, when tragedy strikes, when trouble comes upon us, when sickness comes our way, sometimes we forget that God is with us, and we begin to think that we might be God forsaken, that God has somehow left us, that God is no longer with us. And it doesn't matter what kind of trouble, what kind of problem, what kind of illness, what kind of tragedy comes along. We all at times feel like, what is God doing? And sometimes it even feels like God might be punishing us, that God might be after us, that God might be trying to send us a message through our pain, through our troubles. This scripture from the passage of Isaiah is one that is known as part of the Suffering Servant series in the book of Isaiah. Most of these, we believe, are prophecies about Jesus. Indeed, if you read in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 15 and 16, Jesus is healing some people. And then in verses 18 through 21, it quotes again this passage from Isaiah 42. And it's very interesting. But particularly, I want us to focus on today, verse 20. In verse 20, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You may be familiar with reeds and what reeds look like. Our cat o' nine tails that we see sometimes in ponds is one kind of a reed, but in biblical times, there were reeds that grew by the water. The reeds were hollow, and they grew very tall. Now, when the reeds were by the water, they were very soft. They were pliant, okay, because of the water that was going up in them. But they're also very tender. Okay, very easy to bruise reeds. Sometimes it was the wind that came along and bruised the reeds. Sometimes it was people hitting them, going in and out of the water that bruised the reeds. And sometimes the reeds would actually bend over. And the problem with the bruised reed, the problem with this, is that one of the things that reeds were used for was to keep things straight, also to measure things, because once you cut a reed and it dried out, it was very, very hard. And you might remember that when Jesus was beaten before his crucifixion, he was beaten with reeds. So they become very, very stiff, very hard once they're out of the water. But once they're bent over, once they're bruised a little bit, once they're bent, they're no good to anyone. And you know, sometimes when we get beaten down by life, when we get beaten down by our experiences, when things come our way, we feel like the bruised reed, don't we? We feel like we're bent over. We feel like we're useless. We feel like there's nothing that can be done for us. We feel like a useless reed. And of course, then there's this great image of the smoldering wick. There is nothing like a candle that will not stay lit. At Monday night's prayer service, we had two sides that we had candles on, each side of the altar, and people had the opportunity to come forward and light them. And I want you to know that on Mary Noble's side, which was on this side, the candle was very strong. They were very strong and they worked. I was the first one to light a candle on my side. And what do you think happened? As soon as I stuck the wick down in the candle, it almost went out. And then finally it did go out. And there's nothing worse, is there, than a candle that's not lit or that's just smoking. And then all this smoke came up. And these images help to remind us, these were prophecies about Jesus, prophecies about Jesus that he would come and he would not break a bruised reed, nor was he going to snuff out a smoldering wick. And this is very, very good news for us. Because when we feel like God has abandoned us, when we feel like there's nothing going right in our lives, when we feel like there is just, if there's one more piece of bad news that comes our way, that's going to be it. We need to remind ourselves that God is always with us and that this prophecy about Jesus said that he will not break the bruised reed. You know, sometimes when we're in trouble, when things are happening, when we're in crisis, we think, well, God, this is just one more thing, and now God's going to finally break me, and I won't be good for anything. But this passage, this great prophecy from Isaiah reminds us that God is with us and that Jesus is not going to break us just because we're a little bruised. Just because things have not gone right, it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to come along and snap us off. Thanks be to God. That's not what it means. It means that Jesus is going to especially be with the bruised reeds. He's especially going to be with us when we are struggling, when we are in trouble. And of course, this whole idea about the smoldering wick. You know, sometimes my faith feels really strong, but most of the time my faith seems like it is kind of like that candle on Monday night. It's barely going, and it's kind of smoking. And sometimes I think, God, you might as well just put me out. You might as well just put this out, because I just don't have enough. But this prophecy from Isaiah reminds us that just like Jesus is not going to break the bruised reed, Jesus is not going to put out the smoldering wick either. You know, when I think about this part of the scripture, it reminds me of the man who went to Jesus wanting Jesus to heal his child. And he said, Lord, heal my child if you can. This didn't sit well with the Lord. He said, if I can, have a little faith. Have a little faith and believe. And this man said one of the most wonderful prayers that I think has ever been uttered in Scripture. He said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Lord, I'm the smoldering wick here. I'm just about to go out. Are you with me? And the answer that comes from this prophecy about Jesus in the book of Isaiah is, yes, I am with you, and particularly when you are bent, almost broken, when you are smoldering, when your faith is almost gone out, that's when I am the closest to you. When that is the case. And it makes me understand how the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, could say, rejoice, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of any kind, because God is never more with us than when we are in trouble, than when we are sick, than when we are suffering. You may have heard me speak about this man, a pastor named Ed Dobson. Ed Dobson is a pastor that had a really, really large church in Minnesota. And he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And he talks about when he was diagnosed, how difficult it was for him to accept this, and how there were days that he did not want to get out of the bed. He talks about going through the annual Christmas cycle at the church, the plays, the cantatas, all the things that happen around Christmas, and all he could think about was, this might be my last Christmas. They said he was going to live for 2 years. It's been over 10 for Ed Dobson. And some of you will remember that we saw part of his story on Wednesday nights a couple of years ago. But in the midst of dealing with this diagnosis, Ed Dobson talks about how he got so depressed, and he felt like God was so far from him that at one point his wife had one of his good friends who happens to be from Brooklyn, New York, and his name is Billy, to call Ed. And Billy listened to Ed talk about how depressed he was, how upset he was that what had gone on and this diagnosis had come his way. And in this thick Brooklyn accent, Billy says back to Ed, "You need to become a Yogi Berra Christian." A Yogi Berra Christian. I didn't know what a Yogi Berra Christian was, but Billy did. And this is what he said. "If you're a Yogi Berra Christian, this is what you know. It's not over till it's over. It's not over till it's over." And Ed Dobson says that one phone call changed the way he thought about his illness and about his life, because it is not over until it's over. And you know, some of you in this place today, some of you are hurting. It might be a family issue. It might be a diagnosis that was unwelcome. It might be job struggles. It might be anything across the board, because we all have struggles. We all do. Jesus one time told the disciples, it rains on the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter how good you are, how much you come to church, how much you pray, how much you read your Bible, how much you help others. Sometimes bad things happen to us. But the thing that Isaiah 42 reminds us of is that God is not going to snap us like we were a bruised reed when trouble comes along. God is not going to put us out like a smoldering wick when our faith feels like it might leave us at any time and it's just barely hanging on by a thread. No, brothers and sisters, Paul wrote it the best, I think, in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And this wonderful prophecy out of the book of Isaiah about Jesus is a promise that reminds us that God is with us in our struggles. God is with us when we hurt. God is with us when we suffer. The presence of God doesn't leave us. And God is not like some cosmic thumb up there just waiting to mash us and break us just because. The truth is that God loves each and every one of you more than anybody has ever loved you, and more perfectly than anybody has ever loved you. God loves us so much that God does not abandon us in our suffering, in our trials, in our problems. No, brothers and sisters, the truth is God is right there with us always. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So sometimes when we don't know what to do, we need to remind ourselves of the fact that God loves us, and that God loves us even when we're suffering. The fact that we're suffering, the fact that tragedy has struck us in some way, the fact that we're hurting, the fact that things don't feel like they're going right, the fact that our faith is hanging on by what seems to be spider silk, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because God is with us. And brothers and sisters, maybe we need to become Yogi Berra Christians. Amen. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. And sometimes when the suffering seems the worst, when our faith seems like it's barely hanging on, that's when God will show up in ways that we can only begin to imagine. Because the good news today is He will not break a bruised reed. He will not stuff out a smoldering wick. The God that loves us no matter what. And again, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Who can be against us? May we always remember that one of the things we can do when we don't know what to do is we can remind ourselves of the incredible, awesome love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. And remember that Jesus didn't come to snap us when we're bruised. Jesus didn't come to snuff us out when we're barely, barely burning. Indeed, Jesus came to strengthen the bruised reed. And He came to set on fire the smoldering wick. Because it ain't over until it's over. Amen.